What language does God speak? He speaks Koalinga. 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 And that's not a native dialect. That's a city. And it's not too far away from here. But last week something happened in that city, and I guess there's no one here who doesn't know that there was a great earthquake that took place. And depending upon who you listen to, as you'll find out as to what happened. But according to their own record, their own newspaper, they say 165 homes have been totally destroyed. According to their newspaper, not the LA Times, but their newspaper, 398 homes will require extensive remodeling before the residents can live there. And according to their records, 393 homes, additional homes, will require some minor repair. 200 stores damaged severely. $31 million. And the newspaper and the news media says, Koalinga is devastated. Koalinga is destroyed. It's miraculous nobody was hurt. It wasn't miraculous nobody was hurt. It was God's plan, I believe, that nobody be hurt. You're going to have to listen this morning to the sermon with all of your ears very carefully, lest I be misquoted. Because I'm going to say some things the Lord has laid upon my heart to say that are very, very important. And they're so important that we have already prayed God would bless this message, because we're going to go to the Word of God and find some answers as to what language God speaks. And I say He speaks Koalinga. Now in the Bible, the word earthquake is used a number of times. There have been a lot of earthquakes in the world, and you see on your mimeograph sheet some that, like the one in 1556 in China, where 830,000 deaths occurred. And the one in Alaska in 1964 brings it closer to home. I don't recall how many deaths were there. But then to bring it even closer home is the one last week. I was home, sitting in the living room with Nancy, and believe it or not, we were talking about the power of God. How, what happens when God is present. And we were talking about the power of God when all of a sudden the living room starts shaking, and I look at Nancy and she looks at me, and here we're talking about God's power. We know that one of the many signs of God's power is an earthquake. So we see here on the sheet that 8.5 on the Richter scale was the one in Alaska. The one in Koalinga was 6.5. The 1906 San Francisco earthquake registered 8.2. And so you see how on that quake, people register it. If it's 5 to 8, it's dangerous. If it's 8 plus, it's a major catastrophe if it's in a populated area. But there have been many earthquakes that were more than this rating and became very devastating to people when they realized that it was happening to them, inside of them, when they would not even shake. But there was a shaking on the inside. I want you this morning to take the time to look at these scriptures. And the first is Revelation chapter 11. Take the time. If the one next to you cannot find these books, it will not embarrass them if you say, hey, let me help you. Or if you're using a pew Bible, give them the page number. In the book of Revelation, there are five earthquakes that take place. Five earthquakes that take place in the book of Revelation. The first is in chapter 6, where it is the earthquake. It's in the sixth seal. In chapter 8, there's an earthquake between the seventh seal and the first trumpet. In chapter 11 that we're going to look at now, there is an earthquake regarding the two witnesses that are resurrected and ascend to heaven. In chapter 11, there's an earthquake during the seventh trumpet. And in chapter 16, there's an earthquake during the seventh vial. We're turning to Revelation 11. And beginning with verse 1, there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelled on the earth. After 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they assembled up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake. And the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Verse 19, the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings, and what? An earthquake. And great hail. Here we have an earthquake that does devastating damage. The temple is rent, and people are allowed to see in the temple. But before it happens, something very special has happened. And that is, in verse 4, there are two olive trees and two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. These people in verse 3 are the two people that come forth and they make prophecy. They prophesy. And people do not like to hear what they're saying, because usually prophetic words are telling us what we're doing wrong, and God is asking us for a correction in our life. These two witnesses shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, or 3.5 years, during the period of the great tribulation. The two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Lord are two men. And these two men are Moses and Elijah. Now, why do I say they're Moses and Elijah? Because you'll find in verse 6, these two olive trees have power to do two things. One is to shut heaven that it rain not. And what prophet in the Old Testament zipped up heaven so it couldn't rain? Elijah. And what prophet was there in verse 6? It says the other one turned the water to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. What prophet did that? Moses. So these two come together. They are the two candlesticks. They are the two olive branches. They are prophesying. And the people don't like to hear this. The beast comes out of the bottomless pit, makes war, and in verse 7, kills them. And their dead bodies are seen, and they are viewed by the people of all the earth for 3.5 days. Years gone by, people said this could not be. This is not possible for people all over the world to be able to view these two dead bodies. They just can't do that. But we have this last week seen dead bodies in Israel, haven't we? By mediums of television. By Telstar today, we can see. So by Telstar in the future, people will be able to see these two bodies there. But God will intervene and miraculously bring them back to life, and they will ascend unto heaven, and there will be an earthquake. And the earthquake will possibly supersede any earthquake that the Richter scale has ever indicated. The temple is going to be rent in two. And the scripture says here in verse 13, that during the earthquake, 7,000 people are killed, and during the earthquake, verse 19, the ark is seen. Now, this is present, as indicated on the paper, and it's also future. The temple is open, the ark of the covenant is seen. Why a reference? A reminder to the people like you today of God's special covenant with his own people. This is what the covenant was all about. And the future is here insofar as the coming of the full glory, which is a terrifying threat to the unbeliever, but it's also a picture of the present day agreement that God has made with you. Like every time you see a rainbow, you see the promise of God. So when the earthquake occurred, what happened was that people saw the covenant. And they saw afresh and anew what God had said was going to be between the two of them. So that's where we are today. We are a covenant group of people, and we know that God has set certain things in order. And we know that the Bible speaks about a relationship that oftentimes comes about when there's an earthquake. There were people who hugged one another during the earthquake. There were people that reached out their hands and calling it for help. Let me help you. One man was leaving his office upstairs, and he had a hard time walking down the flight of steps, and his daughter was with him, and together they made their way down. They assisted one another. I don't know, maybe they haven't held hands in a long time. But people helped one another because they had to. The ground was beginning to shake. People, the ground is beginning to shake in my life. It's beginning to shake in your life. Now, you can do one of two things. You can hold on to the things of the world and go like this. Or you can hold on to God and stay like this. And yours is the choice. Who you reach out to. Who you reach out to. Now let me lead you through some scriptures that mention earthquakes in the Bible to see some very important things. And the first is Job chapter 9 verse 6. It's the token of God's power. Job chapter 9 verse 6. It says here that God shakes the earth out of her place and the pillars thereof tremble. Of course, people thought in those days that the earth was sitting on pillows, and when they vibrated, the earth would vibrate. And so Job, with his limited scientific knowledge, speaks spiritually accurate words when he says God shakes the earth out of her place. This shows God's power. And if you want to know another power of God that has come forth from the earthquake, it's found in Matthew 27:51. That's not written on your sheet, but it needs to be written down in your mind. Matthew 27:51. Maybe you forgot this. It was during the crucifixion. And Matthew records in Matthew 27:51, "Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and there was an earthquake. And the rocks were broken open, and the graves were opened, and bodies of the saints which slept arose." There was an earthquake so devastating that large boulders cracked wide open, just like the highway pavement cracked open between here and Coalinga, on Highway 33, rather, on the other side. It just opened up because there was an earthquake. When Jesus died, there was an earthquake. And that big, thick, massive curtain in the temple received a tear just as simple as I tear this paper. That's what happened. That earthquake, and the temple received an earthquake, and that the veil rent, signifying that no longer would there be behind the veil that covenant box, but now it would be made available. No longer was it the mystical Holy of Holies place. Now you can go into the very presence of God if you wish. The Bible talks about earthquakes, first of all, as a token of God's power. Secondly, It speaks about the presence of God. And would you turn to Psalm 68:8? Psalm 68:8. David, singing this psalm, which is a psalm, and in verse 8, he says, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Now, let me ask you a question. Was there a fault under Mount Sinai? Was there a fault under Mount Sinai? Scientists say, you've got to have a fault to have an earthquake. You've got to have fault, okay, but not the kind of a fault that's under the ground. You've got to have a fault that's in your body. I'm not saying there is no fault under Mount Sinai, but it's hard for me to believe that there was a fault under Mount Sinai, and the earth slipped the plates and it rumbled. No. I believe what the scripture says, that the earth experienced an earthquake at the presence of God, at the very presence of God. Yes, God was there, and he later was angry, and it was an earthquake showing his anger. And if you'll turn to Psalm 18:7, you'll find that verified. Psalm 18:7, the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken. Why? Because he was angry. Because he was angry. There are earthquakes today because God is angry. Not because there are faults. Now look at Isaiah, if you will. Isaiah chapter 13, beginning verse 11, really. I will punish the world for their evil. This is God's talking now. I will punish the wicked for their iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens. There will be an earthquake, and the earth shall move out of her place in the anger of the Lord, in the day of his fierce anger. God, when he is angry, causes his earth to move. I wrote down Isaiah 29:6 while we're in that book. Isaiah 29:6. It's talking about the heavy judgment of God upon Jerusalem. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of God with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. It says very clearly, God is going to visit with an earthquake. Well, that's what happened in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts 4:31. It says very clearly, they were praying together, and the place was shaken. There was an earthquake, and they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. People, the scripture abounds to the fact that when there is an earthquake, that can be the sign of God's presence, and it can be the sign of God's anger. I am not saying there is no fault under Coalinga, but I'm saying there is fault in Coalinga. It's easy to point my finger over there. Wait till it starts rumbling in King City. But I'm saying this. There was a sign outside of Coalinga that says, Jesus is Lord of Coalinga. I would hope to God that sign has crumbled completely, because when I was driving to King City from Fresno with Nancy a few weeks ago, we saw the sign. I had forgotten that it was there. And the minute I saw it, a spirit picked up in my spirit, and I said, Nancy, that's a bunch of baloney. God is not Lord. Jesus isn't Lord of Coalinga. The sign should read, Jesus wants to be Lord over Coalinga, because he's no more Lord over Coalinga than he's Lord over King City. And we call ourselves the City of King. Wow. What will he do to us? The Lord has spoken, and he has showed us that there was in Coalinga a great, great, great religious piousity, great religion, great talk with no words to back it up, with a religious kind of a sloppy agape. Oh, I love you, brother. But in fact, I hate your guts. You know? A sloppy agape. Now, hear me very clearly. I am not saying God caused an earthquake in Coalinga. I praise God that there was nobody killed. I think that's of God too. But I am saying this. The scientist said, we didn't know there was a fault under Coalinga. We didn't know that. And so some say, well, we pulled out so much oil from all the oil fields around there that the earth sort of slipped. I'm not saying God caused the earthquake, but I'm saying this. The Bible says that when God gets angry, he causes an earthquake. You can't deny that. So it would not surprise me to know that there is no fault there. There was no fault there, but God was there. And God tried to shake up his people. And you believe me, I believe a lot of people have been shook up. God wants to be Lord of Coalinga. Okay, that's Coalinga. You don't have to have a fault to have an earthquake. You take, for example, turn to Acts chapter 16. This is another good scripture. Acts chapter 16, verse 26. Now, I do want to get back to Coalinga because that's where we are with King City. But Acts 16, 26. This is the story of Paul and Silas being in jail. What word sort of jumps right after you in verse 26? Anybody? Earthquake. In verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's hands were loosed. Are you telling me that there was a fault under the Philippian jailer? Jail? Was there a fault there? And that the plates started shifting? No. God was there. You don't have to have a fault to have an earthquake. You can. It's part of the system God has made in creation of the earth. But you don't have to have a fault to have an earthquake. You do have to have faults to have an earthquake from God. And God has told us in his word that when you see an earthquake, it shows the presence of God. It shows the power of God. And I think that the Christian community in Coalinga should pick up their sensitive ears and ask what the Spirit of God is saying to them. I think that we who do not live too far away should do the same thing and ask God, what do you want us to know about this? If you don't have to have a fault to have an earthquake, because there may not have been a fault under the city of Jerusalem or Mount Sinai or Acts here that we read about in the city of Philippi, there may not be a fault under King City. But you know, my friends, there can be an earthquake at any moment. God chooses, because the scripture says that God sends these earthquakes when he is present. They just happen. In Matthew chapter 24, you don't have to turn to it, but the Bible very clearly says, the people were asking the questions, Lord, when is the end of the world going to come? And when will the signs be? And Jesus said, there will be, among other things, earthquakes in divers places. Earthquakes. And every time I hear of an earthquake, I am immediately reminded of this scripture in Matthew 24. Jesus said, every time there's an earthquake, bear in mind, I'm coming. It's getting closer. The time is getting nearer and nearer and nearer. There will be a signs of the times, and one is of the earthquakes. During 1950, there were over 500 earthquakes reported. During the 1960s, there were over 325 reported earthquakes that measured a certain intensity on the scale. They're having earthquakes all around, and Jesus says, well, these earthquakes are coming. Bear in mind, it's just my little knocking on your door, trying to shake you up, and I'm coming again. And when there are earthquakes, fourth and final, they will reveal some things. Matthew 28, there was an earthquake, verse 2, and in verse 6. It says here, behold, there was a what? A great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and there was no fault there. It says right here what caused the earthquake. An angel from the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And then in verse 6, the statement was made, he's not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. I tell you what the earthquake revealed at that point. It revealed angels. It also revealed the absence of the body of Jesus. So earthquakes reveal. Last week in Coalinga, when the side of the house fell down, people could see what was in that house. The things that were hidden were now made visible. Earthquakes reveal. And earthquakes reveal, too, ourselves and our faults that we've got. You see, we've got these plates within our being that shift and slide, and we need, with these faults that we have, to be made right with God. And we can be made right with God. So it says here at the bottom of your mimeographed paper, Lord, give me an earthquake. Oh, well, now we don't want the earthquake, but Lord, give me the earthquake in my soul today. Let there be a shaking in blank and blank and blank. Let there be a shaking of blank and blank and blank. I would encourage you to write something down. Let there be a shaking in my church. Let there be a shaking in my home. Let there be a shaking in my work. Well, I wrote down already, because I sit in the pew too. Let there be a shaking, Lord, of fear. Let there be a shaking of traditions. Let there be a shaking of preconceived ideas about healing and health and deliverance. Let there be a shaking of false teachings. Let there be a shaking of pride. And for this or any sermon to be of any value to you personally, then you've got to respond to it. You've got to respond to it. And I urge you to write something down on this paper before you leave this day. Let there be this shaking. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would not take lightly what we see happening to other people in other towns. We would not take lightly the power of God as seen in earthquakes, the presence of God as seen in earthquakes, the anger of God seen in earthquakes, as well as the sign of Christ's coming and the end of the world. And we would not take lightly that the days are numbered according to your timetable, and further, that great things are revealed when earthquakes are experienced. God, many of us have had earthquakes in our soul. We have had shattering experiences, and we have come forth as metal tried in gold, as gold in fire. And it's taken the shaking that you have done to cause us to be in your presence, or to be where we are today as an example. Father, you are trying today to shake the churches, to shake the people out of complacency. You are trying to shake your Christians. In fact, the word even says, you will shake so that the things which are shakable will be shaken, and the things that cannot be shaken will not be shaken. So we will lay aside and put aside all the things that we may be holding on to, and even the vain and the false teachings, when Jesus said, as he did, you hold on to all of those traditions of men, and you make void the word of God. Father, I ask that everything we're holding on to that is not of you be shaken, and we be freed from it, so that the things which are not shakable will stand, which is the word of God, which is the power from the presence of God, which is the healing done by God's power through the name of Jesus, and it is the deliverance of your captives by the power and the blood of Jesus. Let there be a shaking, Father. And yet I know that there are people who will not allow the shaking, for we have within us the ability not to be shook at times, because our pride and our self-will stands in the way. We are comfortable as it always has been done, and so we put a shield around us and we literally make ourselves earthquake proof. And barring the major things that you do as God, we stand insulated and isolated, untouched, unmoved. I pray, Father, we would allow a crack to appear, that in the stubborn heart that is present this day, a crack would appear. And it would widen and widen and widen. In that prideful heart, a crack would appear. In that careless attitude, a crack would appear. Father, there's so many areas in which you are trying to work in us. And it is true you don't work the same way in every person, but you want to work in every person. And I ask, Father, that we would allow this shaking of ourselves to occur. And not tomorrow, and not this afternoon, but right now. Right now, just as we are, allowing you to come and touch and change. God, we submit to your earthquake the truths that you would have us to know. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Would you stand with me, please?